at the moon. Don't know or what I am. In your arms a while. Face a baby before it knows to smile.
We're here, but there's no trace. Everywhere I turn, you kiss my face.
Namaste and blessings. May your richness and joy increase. This Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Welcome to Meditative Living. This is Swami Shivananda Giri. And today, we are wrapping up. This won't be the last show on the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. We'll require one more before we finish this text. But we're just about to wrap it up. Kindly allow this, Swami, to inform you, if you're new to these broadcasts, to Meditative Living show in general, that you can get information about this Swami, about the lineage, by visiting www.meditativeliving, no spaces, no dots, all one word, www.meditativeliving.info, not .com, .org, .net. meditativeliving.info, and you can find all kinds of stuff, and you can get access personally to this Swami should you have any questions, comments, complaints, or ideas you wish to share. We'd be happy to hear from you and to be of assistance. This Swami is a disciple of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars, whose dharma it is to disseminate Sanatana Dharma, the eternal natural way, on this particular planet. So, let us begin our exploration of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. A little more background here. Bhagwan Nityananda was the guru of the guru of this Swami's guru. Nityananda was the teacher and source of Shaktipat for Swami Muktananda. Baba Muktananda was guru to this Swami's guru, whom we lovingly refer to as HH, because this Swami is a lazy typist. All right, now let's begin. The Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. A tad more background, just in case you're new to this. Bhagwan Nityananda was not the type of guru who gave long discourses and discussions on various things. In fact, he rarely spoke at all. So what happened was one of his disciples, a woman named Tulsi Amma, began writing down what Nityananda would say when he would say things. Oftentimes, he would be very deep in a samadhi state and just begin speaking. And these are the teachings that are put in the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. This project went on for about 7 years. And this collection of teachings is what resulted from that collection of the things that Nityananda would say when he felt like speaking. Now, let's begin with verse 272. Nityananda said, Vairagya should be like burning a cloth. When Vairagya is highly developed, the interior splendor will be visible. The body may sit firm, but it is the mind that should sit firm. Those whose minds are not purified seldom have equal sightedness. Those who do not practice will have great difficulty in possessing the sattva quality in them. The subtle intelligence is developed by practice. Unless you practice, the desire for worldly things cannot be destroyed. Hankering after lands, properties, after women, after gold is difficult to extinguish. What is the thing to be attained by man? When the citta is free from the three forces, sattva, rajas, and tamas, it is called purushatta. Just as dirty linen becomes clean when washed in soap water, so also citta should be purified by washing it in the soap water of buddhi. And it must be made as pure as space. When you learn sewing on a machine, in the beginning, your attention must be fixed not on the legs, but on the hands. When we fix our attention on buddhi and make the mind merge into heart space, then we will attain that eternal peace, which is called Nityananda. The commentary. Burn the ignorance of duality in the fire of Vairagya, which means detachment or dispassion. When this dispassion is highly developed, the complete splendor of God becomes visible. What is most important is the posture not of your body, but of your mind. The mind should be firmly rooted in the eternal self. If your mind has not been purified in the fire of sadhana or practice, it will be very difficult for you to attain equality consciousness. It is only through sadhana or spiritual practice under the guidance of a siddha that your desires and cravings for sense objects can be destroyed. The habit of chasing after sense pleasures is difficult to destroy on your own. You need the grace-bestowing power of God to accomplish this. When you free yourself from the effects of the three gunas, the three powers, sattva, rajas, and tamas, when you rise above these, you become Shiva. Attain eternal bliss by merging your individual identity into Shiva consciousness. When you wash your being in this Chitti Shakti, you will attain this eternal bliss called Nityananda. Verse 273. Nityananda said, "Those whose minds are pure may call God by any name they please. Prakriti is like a railway carriage. Those who are in it are like jnana. The stations along the railway are like the chakras. Within the chakras is the subtle. The subtle is within the tube. Within the subtle tube is the energy of the Kundalini. Kundalini, in the form of Omkar, is in the subtle tubes. Let this subtle be known by experience." The commentary. Those whose minds are pure may call God by any name they please. Prakriti, or nature, is like a shell. Within this shell is pure Shiva consciousness, or jnana. Just as a railroad train stops at different stations, this Shiva consciousness, in the form of Shakti, runs through and makes stops at each of the chakras and nadis within your being. This spanda, or the pulse of Shakti, is very subtle in its movement. Spanda moves through the tube called Sushumna. Stepping away from the text for a moment, the Sushumna is the inner subtle tube through which the Kundalini energy rises and then pierces through the chakras all the way up to the crown, from the base of the spine, all the way up to and through and beyond the crown chakra at the top of the head. Returning to the text. Spanda moves through the subtle tube called Sushumna, and all the 72,000 nadis, or subtle energy points. These can also be associated with the nervous system. Each nerve is a nadi, effectively. The nervous system within the actual physical form. Within the subtle or astral form, there are the 72,000 energy channels which distribute all the energy. Moving in this way, she is known as Kundalini. It is this Kundalini, this Omkar, that is what we call the subtle in the gross. It is she who moves, she who pulsates through the Sushumna and the other nadis. We need to let this subtle become known directly through personal experience. Verse 274. Nityananda said, "A certain man is a lord of scores of money. All cannot be millionaires at the same time. It depends on their past karmas. Everyone is rewarded according to his due. There's plenty of water in the sea, but the quantity of water one fetches depends on the size of the vessel one takes to the sea to fetch water. The fruit depends upon the vasanas of each one's karmas. It is because of the vasanas of former births that a man has a hankering after hearing the teachings of a sadhu. It is because of these vasanas that one feels no happiness in worldly pleasures. Those who are guided by the vasanas of former births do not require separate vasanas. Vairagya itself is the result of the vasanas of former births. For such men, it is the time to tread the path to mukti, or freedom." The commentary. Financial wealth is a direct result of past karmas from past lifetimes. Not everyone can become a millionaire. Acquiring vast sums of money is a direct result of the skill and relationships developed over several lifetimes of desire. Everyone reaps their desires based on the cycle of their karmas. Just as gathering a large amount of seawater will depend on the size of the vessel, the fulfillment of your desires will depend on the intensity of your desire and the level of your skill. For some, the skill required to fulfill the desire may take more than one lifetime to attain. All desires are eventually fulfilled by the Lord, who takes the form of the objects of desire and the skill required to fulfill that desire based on your karmas. Karma is this limited desire for objects. This desire creates a ripple effect in your being referred to as a vasana. When your desire becomes a desire to know God, when this kind of vasana ripples through your being for an extended period of time, God sends you a guru, and you begin to take an interest in spiritual teachings. Once the quality of your desire changes in this way, you become less interested in worldly pleasures and more interested in a personal relationship with God. When this type of vasana, the desire for truth, develops in your being over several lifetimes, vairagya, or dispassion, or desirelessness, becomes stronger within you. When vairagya becomes strong in you, it is then time to tread the path to liberation. Kindly allow this Swami to go into a little bit more related to this. Many of us who are in our final bodies and have become eligible to even set foot on the path to liberation, have already worked at this for lifetimes. We may have become, well, you can assign any title you like, a master, a swami, a Gnostic, you know, any of these things. All the indigenous cultures had wise people who had the actual true knowledge. So what they each get referred to is really not that important. That just depends on the language and the culture and the geography. But each of us who are in a physical body now and are dedicated to liberation, well, this is what becomes our most intense focus. Many of us are just, I mean, we do all the worldly stuff just like anybody else, but we're just not so attached to it. We're not so twisted up about it. It's not that we do not care. Now that's, you know, there's, see, when you get into the actual workings of the subtle discrimination, the higher mind cares nothing about all these little transient, temporary situations and conditions. It is not focused on those things. It is focused on the acquisition of freedom, of liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Sadly, due to the way the publishing industry is and what it takes to sell books, many of the books, even by those who were liberated masters, siddhas, perfected beings, mahatmas, give them by whatever title, that's not the important thing. But even their books, many times, do not rightly explain the difficulties that are going to be necessary to go through and the subtle discriminations that you must attain. Because that truth wouldn't sell a whole lot of books. So, but this is the truth of the matter. If one is deeply involved in the pursuit of liberation, of infinite, eternal bliss and joy, there is a great deal of work required in order to attain that. And please, please do not let anyone tell you otherwise. It cannot be sold to you. It is not available in that way. You must have the guidance of one who can show you the door within yourself. And even then, even once you have a teacher of that qualification, you're still going to have plenty of problems, plenty of failures, two steps forward, three steps back. It's all like climbing a mountain. There may be parts that are beautiful and relatively easy, but there will also be parts that are dangerous and quite frightening and very frustrating. But this is the nature of the pursuit of liberation. And those who are not yet fit to even step on that path will have no interest in it whatsoever. Their interest will run to the worldly things. Televised sports. Eating too much. Drinking too much. Too much drugs. Too many relationships that are not healthy and helpful. All those things. That is where their minds will go, time after time after time after time. But that is as it should be as well, because they have not yet developed the ability to look away from those things and find something deeper, more worthy of pursuit. And this is not a value judgment in any way. This Swami holds no judgment for any human based on what they choose to do with their mind and their body. They are completely free to do exactly as they choose. That's fine. That's as it should be. Until one has done the work, one is just not even interested in the pursuit of liberation. And that too is exactly as it should be. Sonic, let's go ahead and do the bottom of the hour break song. We will be back with verse 275 of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda in just a bit here on Meditative Living.
Oh. Shiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva.
Namaste and blessings. Welcome back to Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri. We continue the work of the study and the understanding of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Verse 275. Nityananda said, for attaining jnana and mukti, which means knowledge and freedom, age is no consideration. This very moment is the time for attainment of jnana and mukti. As soon as a man is hungry, it is the time for taking his meals. Those who are not hungry should wait to eat until they are hungry. One should have a keen hunger for bhakti. The greater the heat of fire, the greater the boiling of water. Shraddha is the heat. Peace is like the ice in the brain. It fills the inside and manifests outside. Such a man becomes content in all respects, and his mind becomes pure. Peace of mind for attainment does not cost us anything, like charity and dharma. When one is filled with peace, those who are near him are also infected with peace for a time. It is enough if one person is filled with peace. Out of 1,000, if one has peace, a fraction of peace is enjoyed by all those who are around him. A sadhu, when he enters a crowd of worldly people, should have that peace which a hunter has when he approaches a tiger. A sadhu, to be in the world, should have immense peace and patience. Peace is very useful to move among thousands of worldly. The commentary. The only requirement for attaining the wisdom of liberation is bhakti. Bhakti is complete surrender to and devotion for the practices as instructed by the guru. This bhakti is love for and devotion to the teacher and to God. This is all that is necessary. Age, race, brain power, physical appearance, social status are not even considerations. Just as it is time for food only at the moment you are actually hungry, when a person has this bhakti, that is the very moment to begin on the path to liberation. Water boils based on the intensity of the fire. The greater the fire, the quicker the water boils, and the more intense the boiling. In the same way, the greater the bhakti, the greater one's spiritual attainment. Inner peace is attained through bhakti. This inner peace then fills a person inside and then manifests outside as a result. Once this peace dawns, you become content and your mind becomes purified. This peace does not cost you anything. It's not like having to go into your pocket for money to pay a bill or to give to charity. When you are filled with this peace, everyone around you becomes touched with this peace. It only takes one person filled with this peace to cause a transformation in others. It only takes a handful of people to spread this peace to the rest of the world. A yogi should approach a crowd of people with the same steady courage and peace of mind that a hunter uses to approach a crouching tiger. The yogi should go about his or her mundane activities with immense patience while remaining absorbed in their own inner peace. To live in this world, inner peace is very useful and very necessary. Kindly allow this Swami to add a bit more. Having been at both ends of this spectrum, this is the absolute truth. Until you have established peace within yourself, which is not, it is not, not something that is a result of a bunch of experiences of a visual, of a physical, of a hearing nature. All of those things occur, most certainly. But the peace that one comes to is not gained from these experiences. It is gained from the stillness, from the silence. If there is an experience of any sort, visual, emotional, mental, astral, any of those things, you are not in silence. Therefore, you must seek the silence and the stillness from which all experience comes and to which it all returns. And the experiences can be a lot of fun. They're great, sure, but they're not the things to be hankered after. We get ourselves extremely distracted by such things. And we'll be right back.
Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva, Om Namah Shivaya.
Are we back? Okay, I will attempt to continue. The internet connection here just went out completely. What a wonderfully timed interruption, eh? Because in our practices, in this path, in the process of achieving, there are all sorts of interruptions and distractions. As we were discussing about the process itself of sadhana, of the practices, which will get us, if we are under the care and the grace of one who is capable of transmitting this truth and assisting us to find it within ourselves, even then, lots and lots of interruptions happen. Okay, let's get back to the text here. Verse 276, Nityananda said, various kinds of articles are brought to a fair. Similarly, peace should be practiced in various ways. When we are in the midst of thousands of people, we should have a firm will. When you think wrongly that you are in the midst of thousands, the idea of duality arises in you. Just as an airplane moves without the help of the earth, so also one must learn to act without the help of the body. The crown of the firm belief, I am not this body, should be firmly planted in the heart. A traveler, after being in the sun for a long time, becomes tired and goes for shelter to the shade of a tree on a hillside. There, he forgets his fatigue. So too, those whose minds are absorbed in the search for God forget their worldly anxieties. Just as in the shade, the sun's heat is forgotten, mindness is forgotten by absorption in God. When we are inside a house, we do not want an umbrella. We are in need of an umbrella only when we go outside the house. Just as you do not want an umbrella inside the house, so also when you are in the great house called God, you feel no necessity for worldly enjoyment. When a man shuts the door of a house, he sees only that which is inside the house. Let him open the doors and come out. Then he will see what is outside. Similarly, you must learn how to shut the doors of the five senses and how to open them. When the doors of a warehouse are locked, buying and selling ceases. When doors of the senses are shut, the difference between the external world and the I will vanish. You must always be careful about the senses. Like a horse being controlled by the help of reins, you must control your senses by the help of discrimination. Your attention on the senses should be fixed like a nail in a wall. Buddhi, or intelligence, should be concentrated in the head. Your attention should always be above the neck, never below the neck. The commentary. When you go to a fair, you have choices on what you can buy. Similarly, you have a number of choices in how you may practice peace. The experience of inner peace should be cultivated, not just in meditation, but when you are going about your day as well. When engaged in your daily mundane activities, even if those activities require you to be out of your home amongst a crowd of people, do not have the attitude that you are in a crowd of many. Understand that no matter where you go and how many people there is really only one everywhere. No matter where you are, God is the only one there. Just as an airplane moves around the earth without any help from the earth, you should move in this world, engaging in activity without relying on the senses to guide you. The senses should be trained to rely on you and your purified consciousness. Then, you do not rely on the senses. Do sadhana every day so that you come to the understanding and experience that you are not the body nor its senses. Plant the understanding firmly in your heart that you are Shiva. Like a traveler seeking shade from the sun under a tree, take refuge in God inside and place your anxieties at the feet of the Lord. Leave your worries there and do not take them up again. The notion of I and mine is forgotten completely when you dissolve your mind in Shiva Shakti. This is the means of rising above pleasure and pain. When you become completely absorbed in your primordial nature, in your own spanda, you do not have to worry that you will again succumb to craving and desire. Once you have taken complete refuge in God and learned to trust the divine will, you will no longer have any expectations of sense pleasure or worldly pleasures. Learning to be in this world without being of this world is absolutely essential. The way to accomplish this is to become absorbed within God through sadhana. Once you have purified your senses in the fire of yoga, You learn to use them as tools for the divine. You learn to only engage them as is necessary to carry out only those activities that are essential. You don't require any additional stimulation because your only desire is to rest in your own bliss. In this state, you see only God in everything and everyone, everywhere, and it is only God that you want. Until you attain this state, You must be cautious about how you engage your senses. The senses have to be monitored constantly, like a nail is fixed into a wall. Direct your individual intellect into the heart space in the Sahasrara, the crown chakra, and learn to keep your focus there so that you can keep the senses under your control. In this way, keep Kundalini focused in the heart space, in the Sahasrara, and not in the chakras below the neck. If you leave Kundalini to rest in the chakras below the neck, you will only fuel the craving and desire for more worldly and sense pleasures. Let's close today with verse 277. Nityananda said, "Just as gold is burnished after repeatedly being put into fire, so by repeated exercise of discrimination, the subtle should be enlightened. You must see the world in you. Our intelligence is only a means of moksha. What is called dharana is nothing but clear understanding of the subject. By this clear understanding, we come nearer to the Atman. We do not get experience from books. First experience, and from that experience, books can then be written. The tree is in the seed. The seed is not in the tree. Man is not in the world. The world is in man. The world is subject to man. We express in words what we think in our minds. The heart should be free from hypocrisy. The heart of man should be perfectly pure. What the heart thinks, the tongue should talk. What one thinks, one must talk. Nobody should you deceive. Nobody should you hate. You must not mix with others. Your mind must always be one-pointed. When you have a deceptive heart, it is like the sun in the midsummer, a star that comes out of the clouds and shines with glory. After a few seconds, it is hidden again by the clouds. So also is the mind of man. Sometimes it appears to be pure, but again, in 5 minutes, it is overclouded by passions. The egotistic mind melts in the Atman like a star which falls down from the sky. Akash, or space, is not visible to the physical eye. Akash is that which is visible to the divine eye. By discrimination, we can experience discrimination. Sound is known by hearing. Mind is perceivable by mind only. The commentary. You get gold by purifying the gold ore in fire. You get God by purifying your intellect in the fire of sadhana, or your practice. Individual intelligence exists only to see God inside and to become liberated by that very sight. The entire universe is contained inside you. Experience it there by the outlook of Shiva, what is known as dharana, or contemplation, is nothing other than the constant, uninterrupted vision of the supreme subject, Shiva Shakti. understanding this, you know and understand everything. This experience cannot be found in books. It can only be found by going inside yourself through sadhana. Great books have been written by those who have already done so, but not the other way around. Just as a tree is naturally within the seed, so too the entire universe is contained inside a human being. The entire world appearance is subject to humankind and not the other way around. Free yourself from duality and hypocrisy. Only in this way can you attain equality consciousness. Equality consciousness means the direct experience that nothing exists that is not Shiva. Having attained this state, keep your mind absorbed in Shiva, so that you do not become prone to deception, greed, or hatred. Keep the company of the wise and the holy, and do not mix with others who believe that they are separate from God. If you engage in deception, you will conceal God from yourself, and thereby forget your natural and free state of being. The mind of the unenlightened is just like clouds that reveal the sun for a few seconds only to cover it up again. It is bounced back and forth between pleasure and pain, between deception and hatred and greed. People remember God in one moment and are overcome with passion for objects in the next. Cannot have both. To become liberated, you have to rise above both virtue and vice. Shiva is not visible to the limited ego. So purify the mind by the mind. Purify the ego by having the ego that says, I am God. And God is me. Use discrimination itself to discern the source of that discrimination. Thank you for tuning in to Meditative Living with Swami Sivananda Giri. It is very likely that next Friday we will conclude the entirety of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Thank you very, very much for allowing this Swami to be of service. Namaste and blessings.